Good to see everybody here today. Good to be with you today. I want to mention somebody. I just got this card. Kim Slayton. The what? I wasn't supposed to do that? Why not? Yeah, I wasn't supposed to do that. She's sitting right up yonder. Yeah. Hey, I've known her for quite some time. She's looking for a church home. Make her feel welcome. Yeah, my fault. I'm sorry. Not. She has no control over me. That's exactly right. She has no control. She gave up about 38 years ago. It'll be 39 this year. Yeah, she gave up. Yeah. Good to have you with us today. Good to have you with us today. Good to be here with you. I always enjoy being here. I always enjoy being around y'all. Y'all lift me up. I want you to know that each and every time. You lift me up a little higher each time I walk in the door. And so I'm glad to see you. I am really glad to see you. We started our Christianity 101 class today. Paul's doing a great job with that class, sitting back yonder. Paul's doing a great job with that class, and so if you'd like to be a part of that class, we encourage you to come. It's for all new Christians who have been baptized within the last 3 years, but anybody who would like to come and be a part of that class, we encourage you, because it will be a class that will help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Plus, it will arm you better to be a warrior for Christ, to go out in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You're going to have lots of scripture. You're going to have lots of opportunity. And we hope to answer any question that you may have while you are in that class. I want to start out today by telling you this little interesting thing. Back 2 years ago, my wife and I were living in Searcy. And while we were living there in Searcy, we were going to this doctor who grew up in Fort Smith, by the way, who I knew. And matter of fact, he went on a senior trip that we chaperoned. So that tells you that we're old. But anyway, we were on this senior trip with him and everything. But he told us, he said, you know, it'd be a really good idea. UAMS out of Little Rock was putting on this... health screening, putting on a health screening, and they were doing $1,000 worth of tests for $100. I said, well, that's a pretty good deal, 90% off, you know. And so he encouraged us to go and take part in this health screening. So we did, and so we went, and the first thing they do, we sit down and they start asking us questions, you know. One of the questions they asked, they said, how often do you exercise? And I said, every time I get up out of my recliner and go to the refrigerator. And of course, the nurses always think that's funny. They go, oh, yeah, that's real funny. Yeah. Check, no, he doesn't exercise, no. No, I gave that up for Lynn about 1985. It's back a while back. But understand that they take your blood and they do all these tests and they run all these things. They do an MRI on you and everything to check your arteries to see if you've got any arteries being clogged and whatnot, and all these really neat tests. And then at the end of your day there, they come out and they sit down with you with the results of your test, of your tests, I should say. And so they sit down with us, and Kathy and I are both sitting in there together, and they open up Kathy's file, and they look at her, and they start going over each one of the results, and the results look good. Everything about her looks good. She's going to live to be 150 years old. Everything about her looks good. It's wonderful. You know, they start talking about how great all this stuff is. And then they close her file and they slide it aside. And then they open my file and they look down. They look back up at me. And they look back down again. And they look back up and they say, "You're going to die." Now, Kathy will tell you they didn't say that. But that's what I heard. Because the results of all my tests were not good. You know, I'm getting older and fatter and uglier. And they sat back and they said, "Okay, you've got this and you've got this and you've got this and you've got this." They didn't really tell me anything I didn't already know. But the bottom line was that I wasn't near as healthy as what Kathy was. And so anyway, we strove to get healthier. And what does Kathy do? She gets healthier. I didn't. I hadn't gotten much healthier. But today, I want to talk to you, but not about physical health. I want to talk to you about something a little different. Spiritual health. And I want to start out by asking you this question. How is your spiritual health? How is your spiritual health? Do you need to go out and exercise a little bit? Do you need to do a little bit more? Do you need to feed yourself the word a little better? That's what I'm talking about with spiritual health. And I can tell you this as well, that there's probably no one in this audience today that doesn't need a little help with your spiritual wellness. All of us do. All of us do. And if you had a checkup, and if Jesus was standing before you today and you had a checkup, would he say this to you? That you are in spiritual life? Or would he say to you that you are in spiritual death? Would he say you're on fire for me? Or would he say you're lukewarm? All those things are things we need to take notice of, because all of us, everywhere, need to do better. If you don't think you need to do better, then you need to really take a hard look in the mirror. Because this is something that you cannot retire from. This is something you cannot stop. Every day, we need to do better. And you need to do so until the time that you stand before Jesus Christ and he looks at you and he says, "Well done."
Amen.
Stay there. Stay strong. Continue to grow. Continue to get better. Because if you're not, then you're going backwards. Now, I want to start this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says this: "Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander." In other words, turn away from all those things that cause your spiritual health to deteriorate. Turn away from all the things in your life that cause you not to follow God. And then he says, "Like newborn babies, long for pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to" what? "Our salvation." Paul spends a great deal of his time in his writings telling those people who were Christian people that they should be feeding on the meat of the word, not the milk of the word. That they should be growing. That instead they should be teachers now, not being taught. They should be going out and doing more, but they're not. And if you've been coming to our class on Sunday night on Revelation, you've been seeing most of those churches, those seven churches in Asia Minor. One of the biggest problems that they've got is that they should be doing stuff that they're not doing. Come tonight, because one of the harshest criticisms that Jesus gives a church is Laodicea. And I tell you that because I believe that that situation is the number one problem that we have with churches here in the United States. They are neither hot nor cold. They are lukewarm. Number one, folks, number one. Because we get pretty complacent. We have truly been blessed in this country. If you don't believe it, go to another country. See what they deal with. And yes, we've got problems. I'm not going to say we don't have, because we sure do. But you know what? God has blessed us. We have things that other people in other countries simply dream about. I've been to places where the average income of a rich person was $250 a month. They were considered rich. Folks, $250 a week for us is not considered rich. Realize what we have been given. We have a house over our heads. We have food on our tables. We have two cars in the garage. The fact that we even have a garage. We have truly been blessed. And because we have truly been blessed, a lot of times what happens is we get very complacent with what we've got. So I want to start out this morning, and I want to start with this and ask this: how is your spiritual health? How is it? And the first thing I want to look at is your heart. Now, when they finished my little test about my heart, they said, you've got a 16% chance of having a heart attack in, what, 5 years? Something like that. 16% chance. Now, that means I've got an 84% chance that I'm not going to. Right? But I still got a 16% chance that I will. Well, where are you now in your spiritual life? What percentage do you have that shows your chances of having heart failure when it comes to serving Jesus Christ? What is your percentage? Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the stream, or the spring of life. And notice this also in Matthew 5:28, it says, I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What he's saying right there is this: your heart is what it's all about. Where is your heart? Where are your thoughts in your heart? Where are your desires? What do you shoot for each and every day? Is your heart with God each and every day, each and every minute? Or is your heart with something else? And a lot of times where we run into problems is our heart is not with God, but oftentimes our heart is with our jobs. Because we get so wrapped up in our business, our work, our job, whatever it may be. And it pulls us away from where our heart should truly be. Remember the rich young ruler. For the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Jesus says, "Obey the commandments." He says, "Which one?" Jesus gave him the six that deal with how we deal with other people. And he says, "Thus I have kept since my youth, what lack I yet?" And remember what Jesus said, go and do what? Sell all that you have and do what with it? Give it to the poor. And then you shall have what? Now, the issue was not that he hadn't kept the commandments. That was not the issue. The issue was, where was his heart? And I understand exactly what that is coming from. Jesus knew where his heart was. He knew his heart was with his money, not with God. And so he says, go and sell all that you have. And I've seen very wealthy people who were not like that at all. That they used their wealth to better serve God. But I've also seen very wealthy people that could not stand not making one more dollar. They could not stand giving a dollar to anything because it took it out of their pocket when they already had more money in the bank than they could ever spend in their entire life. You may know some people like that. Well, the question is, where is your heart? Where is it today? What is it that your heart seeks after most? That's where your heart is. And I want you to know where your heart should be. It should be seeking after God. Once you have found him, hang on to him. Secondly, look at your mind. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. One of the things that is very good for us is the fact that we have received the gift of the Holy Spirit when we were baptized into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin. We receive that gift. He dwells within us. He guides us. He helps us along the way. And folks, we are thankful to God because of it. Let the Spirit guide you. It is the mind of Christ. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not force the Spirit away, but rather take hold of it. Let it grow within you. And as we are growing in the mind of Christ and in spirit, realize this, we need to have the mind of God. We need to have one mind striving together for one purpose. And what is the purpose of God? That none should what? Perish, but all come to repentance. Folks, that's the mind of God. That he loved us so much that he gave his son so that we could be with him for an eternity. This is the reason that he sent his son. It is the reason that Jesus had to pay our debt for sin, because we couldn't pay it ourselves. God wants to be with us. And so we need to have that mind of God. Always thinking, always focusing, and remember this verse, which says, pray without what? If your mind is always on God, then guess what? You're always going to be praying to God. Always. And I told you before that when I was a principal and I had my walkie-talkie on my hip, and I'd get a call, I'd be at the other end of the building, and I'd get a call, and they'd say, "Mr. Breedlove, somebody needs to see you in the office." During the entire walk from the other end of the building to the office, I prayed. Constantly. Because I never knew what I was going to see. And not only that, I can tell you this as a principal. And folks, remember your principals. They're good people. They're good folk. Remember these people. But realize that nobody ever came to my office and said, "Man, you're doing a great job." They never did. They always came to my office because they were mad about something. And it was usually they were mad about something I did. And a lot of times I didn't even know I did it. And a lot of times I didn't even do it. But they had to get mad at somebody. And so they were mad at me. And some of the funniest times was when they were mad at me because I suspended their child from school because their child had not done what the child was supposed to do. But it was my fault. Realize this. If your mind is always on God, as it should be, then you know what's going to happen? Your mind is always going to be prayerful. Your mind is always going to be like it should be. This last week, I got to go out and see these planets align. Did y'all see that? It was, I don't remember what, Jupiter and Saturn and Mercury and all. There's like four planets that aligned. And you could see it, and you could see that there was another planet right beside that one and all this stuff. And I always think that's cool. I took a course in college called astronomy. And the reason why I took that course was because I didn't want to take biology. I took this course in college called astronomy, and we got to go up on top of the communication building, which was the highest building at the University of Arkansas at the time. We got to get up there, and they had telescopes up there, and we got to look at these planets, and they were kind of cool. And I always think that's cool. But what's really cool is the knowledge of the Creator who created all these things for us. What a great, great thing it is when you see that sun come up in the morning or you see the sun set at night. You see the lightning in the clouds. You see the rain fall down. You see the beauty of the snow and the beauty of the flowers which come up in the spring. That's the Creator. If your mind is on God the way it should be, guess what? You're blessing the Creator for His wonderful creations. Third, where's your tongue? Where's your tongue? There's a song that we sing called "Angry Words, Oh Let Them Never From the Tongue Unbridled Slip." You know why? Because you can't reel those things back in. You throw them out there, they're out there. But realize this, from the tongue comes the knowledge of what's in your heart. If you say evil things, then your heart is evil. But if you say good things, uplifting things, great things for one another, then that's where your heart is. Be careful what you say. And sometimes that means just turn and walk away. Sometimes that means like my mother used to do, say, well, bless her heart. Sometimes it means being kind to someone who has been evil to you. Saying good, build them up. Because you don't know what you say, what might bring someone to Christ. How about your feet? Where do you go? One of the things I learned a long time ago is that if you really want to see what kind of person a person is, take them on a long trip away from their spouses. See where they go. See where they want to go. See the direction they head. See how they act. Where are your feet? We must guard your path always to make sure that you are continuing to walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. 1 John chapter 1. Always focusing on this, that there are two paths. One path is very wide, and it leads to destruction. The other path is very narrow, and it leads to life everlasting. Make sure your feet are on the path with God. Always following that path, avoiding going by the way of the world, and go by the way of Christ. And then how about this one? What are you doing? What's your work? And I'm not talking about how you go out and make money. I'm talking about what are you doing for God? Each and every day of your life, what are you doing for God? How can I do better? How can I help someone along the way? And I've told you before, don't call me about certain things because I don't know anything about them. If your car breaks down, don't call me. Unless you just need to find out a mechanic, because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a mechanic. I can't fix your car. But there are other things I might be able to do to help you. What can I do to help? We have a problem here in this congregation, but it's in every congregation that I've ever seen in my life. And that problem is this, that we have a lot of people that really need to be working that are not. We just have a few people that actually put forth an effort and work. We've got jobs out there for you to do. We got some things out there that you need to be taking part of. We've got great opportunities for you. And like I told you last week, if there's nothing else that you think you can do, become a prayer warrior. Amen. We've got great prayer warriors right here that are praying for people each and every day. And that's the greatest thing you can do because you're calling upon the Creator of the universe. And He can do all things. Look for things that you can do with your hands. And don't think at any point in time that you can't do anything. Because you sure can. Call upon the power of the universe. Call upon the One who created it all. Now I want to leave you with this verse. It's in Acts chapter 10. It's the second part of this verse, but they're asking about this individual who was healed. And notice what he says. He says, by this name, Jesus Christ, this man stands here before you in good health. Folks, I told you about this wellness checkup I had. And they said, you need to do better. But I want you to know this, that I stand before you today in good health. Probably not physical health, but definitely spiritual health. You know why I stand here before you in spiritual health? Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I can tell you this, that today you are in spiritual wellness or you are in spiritual illness. Today you are in spiritual life or you are in spiritual death. There is no in between. And I can tell you that if you have not yet been baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, then you are in spiritual death. Folks, I'm in spiritual wellness. Why? Because I have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Amen. If you have been baptized for that reason, you too are in spiritual wellness. Because even though you fall short, and you will fall short every day, even though you fall short, the blood of Christ cleanses you each and every day. Amen. And therefore, I can tell you right now that those of us who have been are in spiritual wellness. Just like this man who had been healed, he stood before them in good health, and I'm saying spiritual health here, because of what Jesus did for him. Amen. Folks, Jesus died for you. Why not put him on in baptism? Why not be buried in the likeness of his death and be raised in the likeness of his resurrection? Why not become spiritually healthy so that we know we have a place with God in heaven? If you have a need this morning, a need for baptism or a need for our prayers, we invite you to come now while together we stand and sing.
When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek,